welcome, ladies, gentlemen, and hermaphrodites, my fellow slaves of the global plantation. The Vinnie Eastwood Show is bad news. It's like the news, but so much worse. It's the lighter side of genocide. Just because we're being exterminated doesn't mean we can't enjoy it. Otherwise, what's the point of being killed? The Vinnie Eastwood Show, where the only thing worse than living in a high-tech global police state run by child-trafficking Satanists is Vinnie's jokes. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. It's a very nice show today. It's going to be Truther Coping Skills. Now, even for those of us who've been doing this a long time, we've still got our coping skills for all of these situations that you might find yourselves in. Have you been alone a lot, doing lots of research, watching lots of documentaries, listening to lots of different interviews, not necessarily talking to other people about it, and you kind of feel a little bit stir crazy? And you kind of become resentful of other people, start making up in your mind the stupid things that they might say or think if you said what you thought. Yeah. You're going to need some coping skills. And we'll get to that in just a moment, ladies and gentlemen. But first, we need cookies. Don't eat the bugs. We've got some merchandise on the Vinnie Eastwood Show, which I often fail to plug. The Nightmare on Molesworth t-shirt, which has Jacinda Ardern as Freddy Krueger with vaccines coming out of her fingers instead of blades. You know, Nightmare on Molesworth Street, that's where the New Zealand Parliament's at. I've got one of these t-shirts, and I think my mate John Hyatt has one. It's the only two in existence at present, so it's a very special thing. You make a significant donation, you get a great t-shirt like that on the merch page of the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. I try to remind myself today that, hey, I've got to plug my sponsors, you know. Well, why wouldn't you, Vinnie? So, for example, HoldenHealthCare.com. When you type that one into your browser, you go to my naturopath and sponsor of the show, an all-round good guy, David Holden, naturopath, who's a naturopathic oncologist. So if you've got problems, you know, right, any kind of problem, really, and you've gone to a doctor and the doctor hasn't asked you how you're sleeping, what you're eating, and how you're pooping, they ain't going to be interested in healing you. They'll be interested in just peddling you some kind of drug. Whereas naturopathic care is somewhat different. And some might say a little bit more invasive. But there's none of those weird like instruments and things of that nature in a creepy way. It's more like just answering a lot more questions than you would be used to being asked by a doctor, so that you can actually get a full view of how your whole body works and tailor a solution for you. You're lacking in this, you're lacking in that, oh, you are needing this, you are needing that. And brings you back to what they call in the hood, homeostasis. Now, you can go to HoldenHealthCare.com, and if you say that you're a Vinnie Eastwood listener, David will treat you extra nice. And he is quite remarkably good, ladies and gentlemen, I must say. My other sponsor is Reopen.nz. The man Henry has been supporting me since before lockdown started. And he is telling people to add their freedom businesses to reopen.nz. And there is a significant list of businesses of all sorts of eclectic fields and best pre-workout inception labs, professional car detailing service and tunnel watch, name badges, Lone Star, best restaurants in Masterton. So it's just like all sorts of these different freedom businesses from all around the country across the particular scope of what services can really be offered to people, and they're all heard about reopen.nz, probably from the Vinnie Eastwood show or from other places. It's advertising. It's a directory of anti-mandate, pro-freedom businesses in New Zealand. So if you have a business and you'd like to put your name on that list as well, go right ahead to reopen.nz and add it today. I'm just a recap, ladies and gentlemen. Speaking of coping skills, the Vinnie Eastwood show is officially no longer facing prison. We did this documentary, The Day Democracy Died, from the 18th of August 2021, the arrest of Billy TK and Vinnie Eastwood. You can check out the big blue banner on the homepage of thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. That's Vinnie with a Y, because it's the most important question, and Eastwood, like, go ahead, make my news, show.com. That's thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. And check out the day democracy died and watch the most horrible, harrowing day of certainly this activist career. 28 hours in solitary confinement, 6 weeks of not having access to the internet. Couldn't even do internet banking, you know. If I couldn't even, like, you know, stumble across the lounge while somebody was watching Netflix or something. I was afraid I'd go to jail for up to 2 years. Do not pass code, do not collect $200. Took 28 months of court processes before the whole thing was over, but the first 6 weeks was certainly the worst. Couldn't leave home, and it was in the middle of lockdown too, so nobody could come and visit us either. So, mate, what a rough one. And I think I got permanent damage from that, you know, how you suffer in such a way that it affects how you live your life a little bit, or how you see things, or you've got all new triggers. Like, you know, I used to get a little bit triggered when I see a cop, but now I get maybe doubly so, you know. It's just, man, even just thinking about it now, cops driving by, you know, and you're not doing anything wrong, right? There was an artist in the United States, poet, I believe, he said there's something fundamentally wrong when a police officer passes you on the freeway and you feel frightened instead of protected. And it sort of certainly drew its face very much, you know. We were going to the protest, to protest lockdowns. The Jacinda Ardern just called a lockdown in like one night, you know. It's like, hey, everybody, there's a case of lockdown. What? Yeah. Okay. Wow. The whole country now on level 4 lockdown because apparently one person with the Delta variant. I don't know if they've ever shown any proof of anything like that before. But anyway, I digress. This is a censored show, by the way. There's certain quote-unquote misinformation that I'm not allowed to tell you. But you can go to the BitChute, Odyssey and Rumble channels to find some of the interviews with Billy TK if you want a little bit more information on that side of things. Nevertheless, riveroflies.co.nz, we are currently in the stages of making part two of this documentary here, and I do believe it's going to be a good one. The first part was reasonably good as well. In terms of, let's say, giving yourself an overview, you know, you have this, what would you call it? You have this generalized knowledge of what happened during that time, but somebody hasn't come out and just given you the clips that really solidify that knowledge and explain what all of that stuff actually means. Like, your knowledge is all over the place from 100 different sources. But what this documentary does is it takes that time, the things that were said before, during, and after, and compresses them all into one info packet. It's quite extraordinary what Billy has done there. And you can watch this online at the moment by going to riveroflies.co.nz and purchasing the film there for $20, you know, make a night of it, invite your friends around and everybody sit around and watch the documentary on Billy. You know, that'd be freaking great, man. And I think you could potentially screen that. I don't know. I haven't really talked to Billy about that. But in my opinion, the truth is the truth. And if the truth is getting out there, you know, and if you're taking a collection or something like that, make a donation to Billy. He's really struggling right now, actually. Yeah, very, very little donations coming Billy's way of late. So that's troubling to see. So any more help that you can give Billy by purchasing a copy of River of Lies online for yourself, go ahead and do that, please. That'd be a great idea. Now, on the homepage of the VinnieEastwoodShow.com, I do have to remind people that, of course, this is a listener-supported show. All right? It's been listener-supported for now coming up 16 years. 16 years! Oh, man, when I just said it, I just felt this weight of the... Oh, all these people! You know, I mean, I want to just get back to the show. We're going to get into it here. So, Kiwi Bank, PayPal, Patreon, that's how you support the show, thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. All right, so what happens is... as a talk radio show host, or even as a truther, really, if you want to really talk to people and you have any kind of empathy, it takes something from you. Every conversation takes something from you, but it gives you something too. But what it takes from you is your energy, your life force, you know, your willingness to really care. If you have been talking to somebody for 6 hours about really horrific, really complex stuff that they've massively suffered in order to obtain this knowledge, you are going to feel incredibly drained. Unless that person is really funny. This is something David Holden, just from HoldenHealthcare.com, told me about very recently. That when you laugh, you reset your brain. Your brain, when you're thinking, it's black and white, but as long as you are keeping on absorbing this information, your body will reflect into an emotional state. You'll stop thinking about what you're talking about. You'll start feeling it instead. And then you laugh, boom, and it cuts you straight back to the black and white thinking. You're actually able to absorb the information better without your emotions clouding the information itself, all right? Information's black and white. It shouldn't be an emotional thrill ride of getting this kind of thing. And that's what's difficult about most people, you know? They don't realize that when they're explaining these potentially quite traumatizing facts and the truth about reality to people, you've got to have a few jokes in there just to lighten it up, you know? That's why they call it making light. You can't achieve enlightenment without making light of the situation, you see? Things aren't really that serious at all. For example, I remember the first proper truther documentary that my flatmate Liam showed me in Dunedin when I think I was about 19, and Michael C. Rupert from thewilderness.com, God rest his soul, took his own life, but at the time he was still alive to make this documentary. Anyway, he opens it by talking about how he came from the intelligence family background. You know, mother works at NSA, father works at CIA, and he's coming home from school one day, and he asks mum, "What's for dinner?" And she goes, "I can't tell you." Right? it's just those little kind of jokes that actually really make it up. So first coping mechanism, probably number one, the most important, maintain a sense of humor. And it's not just about being able to laugh. I think it's also about being able to make jokes. You need to be able to see the light when you're looking into the darkness. Otherwise, you might not be able to find your way back to it. And you start getting yourself really depressed and frustrated. And you want to spend even more time alone, which is really bad for you. You don't want to spend time alone. First of all, a lot of people say that, you know, I like my alone time and stuff like that. I mean, look, that's not what you want. That's what you need on occasion when you've just been too overloaded by too many people. But if you were, say, in a social group with, like, I don't know, five or six different outlets, like five or six different groups of people that you would go to any one day to do something creative or make something do some kind of project, right? And they were all cool, like there were no jerks, and they were all fun, and they were all having a laugh, and this is girls or guys, you wouldn't really value your alone time quite so much as you perhaps did. The reason why I think a lot of truth of people have so much alone time, too much alone time, is because the groups that they're involved with are jerks. There's jerks at your work. There's jerks at the store. There's jerks at the school. There's jerks at the community group. There's jerks at, you know, they're friggin' everywhere. And so if there isn't an outlet, you need to create one. What was really interesting the other day, I had Conrad Rogers and Dave Kelso from Paradigm Shift in Educational Comedy, and I think Conrad's just started his show as well, Out of the Smoke or Into the Tree. I freaking forget. Sorry, Conrad, if you're listening. And they were both listeners of my show, and they found out that they both lived in Chicago. And they decided that they would meet up. And they did a little video for me, just like, hey, Vinny, here we are. We're in Chicago. We're together. Not feeling quite so alone. Man, bringing people together. All right. I'd like to consider the Vinny Eastwood show sort of like weed, you know. It brings people together. And we had a party. Stephen G and Vex, or Stephen G's known as Apex. It was Vinny, Vex, and Apex, all right? And we put on a little party here at my place and put a gazebo up and barbecue out and stuff like that, and invited all the people on my text list and invited people from Facebook and Telegram and that sort of thing. And we had plenty of people turn up, some people that I didn't know quite as well, that I would like to get to know more of, but it was just, you know, managing the party, running around doing this, that, and the other kind of thing. But it was pretty obvious that they were all pretty cool, and they all had a sense of humour, and they were all there to have a good time. And I was just perfect, you know? It's a perfect mix of people. That's what you want. You want to be able to, you know, put your full bottle of booze down or your cigarettes or something like that, and or your lighter or whatever, and get up and forget where you put them, and then come back like an hour later and oh, there they are, you know, nobody's touched them. That kind of cool sort of house party trusting type vibe. And this isn't exclusive to just, you know, having it at a house party. We did Truth or Dare nights at a bar on K Road, pretty central city for those of you who don't live in Auckland, and the exact same thing was happening, just this really positive vibe. Because when we come out of isolation and we find ourselves in a situation where we can be ourselves, where we can talk about anything we want, all that resentment, all that negativity, all that anger and everything just sort of just goes psst. Now, I do believe that there's a reason why that happens. I don't know exactly what the reason is, but when you do get a bunch of truthers together, it's always a good time. You know, like always. you know, and I think that that's probably what might be different, or something like that. It's because we are so isolated so often, it's that quick release of the kind of, oh, I'm here with my family, I found my tribe, sort of parts of your brain that are hardwired, you know? You do need a tribe. You do need a family. And your body and your consciousness sort of tells you this. And if you don't have them, you'll always be looking for them or resenting the fact that you don't got them. Okay? So one thing that I noticed, because I'm what you might call a pseudo-celebrity now. All of the acclaim of being a celebrity, but none of the responsibility. Now, what that means is, I'll be going down to, say, a department store or a gardening shop or something like that, and I need to pick up a few bits of concrete to put in the grass so I can park a car on it or something. And somebody, while I'm there, will recognize me and come up and have a conversation. And so what I do is I take their number down and I add them to my little text group, Green Bay Truth, right? Anybody who lives in the area that can do that. And I think we had maybe nearly half of the Green Bay Truth text group turn up to the party the other night. So that was pretty awesome. And I think maybe that's probably what we should really be doing. If we find anybody in the area where we're living that we just strike up a conversation with and we know that we're on the same page and whatnot, get their number, add them to your personal truth group, okay? Just add them as a company or something like that. That's what I do. They all work for the Green Bay Truth Company. And so then when you're going out and you're sending your text messages, you go new message, and then you type in Green Bay Truth, and all the list of names come up, and you just add them one at a time. Boom! You've got a group coordinated just by taking people's numbers on occasion when you're out and about. When you're going to events, protests and speeches and things of that nature where clusters of us are going, you know, go around and talk to people. The chances are good you'll find somebody that's in your area. The reason why it's important for people to be in your area is because they don't have to travel a significant period of time in order to get to any location. You could be meeting up in bars, pizza parlors, and things of that nature. That's what was it? Luke Rutkowski's organization back in the days of 9/11 Truth used to be. Just get the truthers in the area and go to a pizza place, you know? Because gatherings are so important, I think, for maybe the resonant frequency of your soul, you know? If you don't have access to other human beings, other consciousnesses, other vibes, and it's just you can get out of control because nobody's there to sort of like go, reel it in, buddy. Right? Especially socially speaking, you've got a lot of people who used to use methamphetamine or something like that, so their brains are, they talk real quick and they talk a lot and this sort of thing. It's just like, reel it in, buddy. You know, it's a practice. Every one of us is damaged by whatever brought us to the truth, usually some kind of traumatic instance. And so you have to learn to socialize again. You know, that's why I found after my bail conditions and things of that nature, when I got out of the house, you know, I found it very difficult to talk to people, very nervous kind of thing. And I think the same thing is true of most of us to a large degree. We feel uncomfortable, we don't know what to say, we're kind of like in our own heads a little bit because that's where we've been. We've been talking to ourselves and watching stuff by ourselves, you know. And we've got Ralphie in the chat here from KiwiRadio.nz. NZ for those of you in the States who also are streaming this show live to their listeners, in addition to the wonderful Ground Zero Radio network and all of the people who are listening here on live, and those of you in the rebroadcasts. I say that I think being around other people in this movement, particularly listeners of my show, I remember I used to introduce my guests as my very special guest, and I still do. And that's because each of the people who come on the show, regardless of, you know, size or scope of, or topic, are actually still very special people. And a thought occurred to me the other day that that is actually true of my audience as well. And that's why the audience has not never really been that big, because there aren't really that many special people around at any one time. And the reason why I think this is because every one of my listeners that I've met has a very interesting story to tell about their life, is very active doing something reasonably important, and I think has significant skills in particular areas, like high-performing people and intelligent people and powerful people. Those are the listeners of the Vinnie Eastwood show, just like the guests, you know, in their own way. They've got pretty much all of these attributes, and I think that's true for every Vinnie Eastwood show listener that I've talked to. Some of them you can tell that they're not quite that bright in terms of the intellectual thing, but they've got amazing skills with this, that, and the other, and I'm like, whoa, blown away. So that's why I always say that IQ is only one of the seven types of intelligence. Okay, only one. It's not the be-all and end-all. It's important, but I think all the other areas of intelligence, emotional intelligence, linguistic intelligence, spatial awareness, kinesthetic intelligence, that's the intelligence to do with your body. You know how some people can like jump and do a flip on the spot and land exactly where they were. It's like, whoa, they've got a particular type of intelligence attributed to that. And that's what I mean when I say that the people who listen to the Vinnie Eastwood show are often very intelligent in their own way. And I think that's quite extraordinary. And I'm actually quite humbled by it. That these people, these amazing people who have started bands who've figured out how to do live streaming 24 hours a day, these people who've figured out how to cure people of various diseases that they say there's no cure for, people who are inventing pieces of technology to perform these strange and weird and wonderful tasks. It's incredible. You know? You are all just as incredible in your own way as I am. That's what's strange about the show, is that all my listeners are like equals, you know? It's not like I'm the guy who knows everything and I'm just telling you and I've got the radio show and so on and so forth. It's like, no. It's never been about that. It's been about having a conversation, you know? To speak together. And find out what we can learn from each other. And I think it's 100% of the time when you're having a real conversation with somebody, where they're talking, you're listening to them, and you reply to what they've said, you learn something from them, and they learn something from you, and you feel better, and they feel better too. That's a real conversation. And I think that's what a lot of us are missing. Kind of like from public discourse in general. I mean, how many show hosts, say in New Zealand, for example, on mainstream networks, give you the impression that they were really listening to their guests, and that their guests were really listening to them, and that they were having a free flow, you know, that goes off across tangents and things like that. I get stuck in the car one time listening to people talking about sport, and it's preferable to have a screwdriver jammed through my cheeks just like that than listening to people talk about the minutiae of sport and what it means for their country, what it means for their... And you scream out, it doesn't matter! Oh my God, just shush! Just when you talk about something that's actually real, something that's personal, something that's meaningful, what is wrong with you people? It just drives me nuts. People talking about things that don't matter to the nth degree, right? They go on and on and on. And just when you think they're done, they go on and on and on. And just when you think you're about to get a word in, they go on and on and on. Oh, just relentless. It's like rain when you're sitting in a tent on the beach. You're stuck there. Just bucketing down. Oh, won't they shut up? Won't they realize I'm not listening? Yeah, had that stuff, man. And we got lots of people in the chat here going up. Savage Stevens going, yeah, up. Michael Vachon going, I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy, Vinny Barbarino. I remember it was quite funny, actually. I did that We're Not Worthy reference to Rebecca one time, and showed her Wayne's World. She'd never seen it. And then after watching Wayne's World, we watched this other movie, I think it was called Game Over Man or something like that. And in it, they do a reference to the Wayne's World, the thing, we're not worthy, we're not worthy. She wouldn't have gotten the reference had we not just watched Wayne's World. It's amazing how things synchronistically line up like that. Teresa is a biological woman, said, I learned to be more open to other views since Freedom Camp Picton. You've run into these people, haven't you? People who are dressed in raggedy clothes, they're not terribly well clean-shaven or clean or something like that. They go, let me just be blunt. The vast majority of the people in the freedom movement / truth movement do not give off good first impressions. They don't. There's only two things that really matter when it comes off to giving a good first impression. Do you look healthy, fit, strong? Do you look wealthy, stylish, and flashy? That's it. 1/1000th of a second is all you have to make a first impression on somebody. And if you don't look healthy and you don't look wealthy, your first impression is lagging somewhat. And some of us look really unhealthy. Some of us look really broke. And 70% of people will go with their first impression, even if it's wrong. Even if you've convinced them that it's wrong, they still have a low opinion of you because of what you look like. Period. The eyes are the human being's prime method of observing the world. A dog's is smell, you know? What kind of vibes can they smell on people, you know, that kind of thing. And I think that's why politicians smell, so that blind people can hate them too. Now, speaking of this, there was a Nagushka in the Twitch chat saying, I definitely agree about the multi IQs. Met one person who has pinnacle musical IQ listening to progressive rock, but when subject of the jibby jabs came up, they looked at me with error 401 404 eyes and ghosted me shortly after. Yeah, I got called uneducated yesterday by somebody who I got introduced to, because, and my mate Steve replies, "Ah, but we're actually more educated than you." And I told them about, "Hey, have you ever heard of the vaccine court? Have you ever seen the spreadsheet of all the compensations for all the different injuries and things like that that they give out on a regular basis? No? Yeah." Changed the conversation pretty quickly after that. And that's what happens when you're dealing with ingrained cowardice, I guess. Intellectual cowardice, or is it just cowardice? I don't know. We just don't know. Kiwi Radio NZ, .NZ. Do you think mental health is clearly promoted now for anti-human AI future? I'm not sure if mental health is being promoted for that specifically. Like, for example, those of you who think you've got ADD or ADHD, the difference is obviously in the picture quality. But what it really means, okay? And I found this out when I went to business school, because my guidance counselor when I was 14 gave me a brochure with all of these symptoms of ADHD type behavior. And I was like, whoa, looking at all of them, I was like, man, that sounds a lot like me. I must have ADHD. And then a few years later, when I was 21 in business school, I saw those exact same symptoms on a slide. And they weren't describing somebody with ADHD. They were describing an entrepreneur. So, do you have difficulty concentrating on tiny, narrow-minded, meaningless tasks that are not worth your effing time? Well, you must have ADHD then. Are you too difficult to get to go through the minutiae and start creating all of these big overview things and new ways of doing things and looking at things? You must have ADHD. Are you capable of going off by yourself and figuring something out and getting it to work and then bringing it back to other people who poo-pooed you and showed them how awesome it is? You might have ADHD. You see, these people like me, people like you probably, are dangerous. Why? Because we don't follow rules. We follow laws. The law of the universe. You can't take that which does not belong to you. People who do that are dangerous to the current system, because the current system is predicated on everybody being so greedy and so selfish and so freaking stupid that they couldn't figure their way out of a wet paper bag if they had a chainsaw. All right? These people are dangerous because they're capable of creating solutions. And if they're capable of creating solutions, they're capable of identifying problems. And who do you think the vast majority of entrepreneurs who have had their businesses sabotaged and their children taken from them and their lives destroyed and so on and so forth figured out was behind all the crap that was going on in society? You see, once you find out and you're operating at a big enough level as an entrepreneur, that's when they can destroy you. If they haven't destroyed you already by giving you cocaine as a child via prescription. If you want to give cocaine to your children, that's bad parenting. Okay? I'm just going to call it like I see it. People drugging their kids up left, right, and center. These kids don't need drugs. They need dads. Okay, you're 8 times more likely to go to jail or be arrested if you haven't had a father for all or most of your life present. Okay, that's what people don't get. Daddies are about order. Mummy's supposed to take care of you when you can't take care of yourself. When you're capable of taking care of yourself, daddy's supposed to show you so that you'll be able to take care of yourself and nobody else will have to take care out of you. Why? Because it means that mummy won't have to worry so much and then daddy can get laid more. Now, the whole, I believe we're dealing with a situation here, and Kiwi Radio is talking about this AI future, which I've always avoided using AI, okay? I think maybe I just watched The Terminator or The Matrix too much, or maybe nobody else watched them at all and really thought about it. But when you're using a machine to create everything for you, it's like CGI in the movies. It's a tool, but it doesn't replace the actors. It doesn't replace the other practical special effects and things of that nature. And it has its limitations, but it can do amazing things. That's what I consider AI like. However, what's happening more recently is AI is sort of becoming interlaced into everything, and you can't really tell. There's so many articles that are ghostwritten by AI. You have no idea. And Steve from the formerly of the New Zealand Tattoo Museum was telling me that what it's about in terms of programming AI, in terms of making something actually work really, really well, is about adequate description, okay? Writing, not just a guy walks into a bar. A man wearing a white wife beater and a sideways tipped starter cap from the Charlotte Hornets with a goatee beard and dark, large sunglasses with a nose ring and a nipple ring, black jeans and a custom belt that with white letters that say scumbaggery, with white shoes that are Nikes, walks into a bar that, you see, the extra description that needs to be added. This is how you fill in what the AI is actually trying to create. The better a description that you give the AI, the more accurate a depiction it'll give you of your idea. This is why they say that you don't know what your thoughts are until you've written them down. This is how the ancient people had to do it before we had computers and typing and things of that nature. They had to write stuff down. Otherwise, they'd freaking forget it. They had no way to memorize, no way to record that sort of thing in a digital format. You know, I've got thousands and thousands of shows that I've done. I can't remember what I said in all of them. For sure. Now, Ralphie goes on to say here, I just walked past a person who is clearly a man, but bright makeup and purple dress, each to their own, as long as he/she not promoting sexuality in libraries, I guess. So, I believe it was in 1965, there was a movie that referenced this. It was a priest talking, if I was the devil, I'd confuse men and women. I'd confuse light and dark. I'd confuse everybody about absolutely everything. And apparently that whole speech, if you listen to it today, it's like come true. The devil's in charge. Devil rules by deception and lies, not honor, not decency, not fairness, certainly not justice. These are human concepts. Human concepts that have real weight to them because people have worked to make them a reality at certain points through history. Worked very hard, sacrificed their comfort, sacrificed their safety, in some cases sacrificed their lives so that people could live in a new and better world. The question is, does AI know about this? And does the devil know about this? Do you know about this? right? I think that's a something strange has occurred. I call it hijacking the reality stream. That at some point in the 20th century, a sufficient amount of percentage of the population had access to broadcast technology in their homes, and the reality that they once knew when they had to go outside and talk to each other and be part of a community and things of that nature suddenly disappeared, and reality itself got hijacked. It wasn't about Jack down the road who you're getting a bottle of milk off next week. It was about Mork and Mindy or the Brady Bunch or something of the nature. People who don't actually exist. You know? You're talking about actors playing things. And that becomes so much of how people interact. Oh, did you see that episode of The Simpsons? Oh, did you see this? Did you see that? You know, and then comparing the lies and the misrepresentations of mankind's everyday life that we get given as a form of entertainment, all right? Or as a form of propaganda and brainwashing subsequently that stops your brain from being able to accept or process reality in and of itself, hijacking the reality stream. So there's a lot of people who are not on the reality stream, okay? They don't care about reality. They think there's your truth and there's my truth. No, there isn't. There's the truth. It's objective. It's measurable. It's provable. Your beliefs and all of that kind of stuff, that's up to you. Go for your life, son. Have you heard, you know, somebody might be doing something that I disapprove of or that I wouldn't do myself. But if they come up to me and ask me, are you all right with this, Vinny? And I'll just ask them two questions. Number one, are you hurting anybody? And they say no. Okay. Number two, did you damage anybody's private property? And they say no. Okay. Then I couldn't give less of a, you know, like, bro, seriously. That's all I ask of people. I have a very simple rule for everybody. Don't hurt anybody. Don't damage their stuff. Period. If you're operating inside that realm of influence, I can deal with you. But if not, I'll send you on to your next victim. And yeah, bye-bye. Oh, bye-bye. You know? can't be sitting in life worried about drama from people who are really going to upturn your stuff. You know, have you had stuff stolen from you? Have you been assaulted? Man, it's not pleasant. And it sticks with you. Even though the stuff is gone or the bruises have healed or something, it sticks with you. So, if we've lived for most of our lives in a reality stream that's been hijacked, it's quite easy to see how people can have reality distorted for them. You know, man can have babies, so on and so forth. It's just ADHD is a problem that we need to drug. Right? You can believe insane things simply because the people who are creating the bulk of your entertainment are trying to entrain you into what you might call solipsism, okay? The root belief of it is this. You're not listening to me right now. I don't actually exist. In point of fact, you made me up in your own mind. And I'm just talking to you from you as part of you, okay? That's what solipsists actually believe. They think that they have created and are currently subconsciously controlling every thought and every action of every person and every organism on this planet and in the universe just inside their own little mind. That sounds like mental illness! I mean, is mental illness a bad thing? Yes! What's causing it? Okay, well, it's probably because you're sick. You've got some kind of illness in your body that ain't being treated, some kind of trauma in your past that you ain't dealing with. And thus, your mind doesn't function correctly because it's like trying to drag something really, really heavy while you're trying to walk and keep up of a conversation with somebody. You can't do it. They're just going to walk past you. This is the burden that we all carry. Now, I know that some people have this idea in their head that they can be completely and utterly independent, that they can live off the land by themselves, just with their family, and ride out Agenda 21's plans to have drone aircraft with heat-seeking and heat-monitoring technology flying over every night and expect that they ain't going to come find you. And expect that your couple of rifles and things like that you can only man one at a time is going to be enough to hold off a tank if it comes to that. Right? Just madness. Okay? If anybody says that all conspiracy theorists are insane, that person's out of their freaking mind. But if anybody says that no conspiracy theorists are crazy, that person is totally out of their mind, bro. Okay? You can't look into hell without hell staring back at you, and you can't have hell stare back at you and not be afraid. Okay? You have to deal with that fear, and the fear has a physical effect on you. It affects your cortisol, your stress hormone that comes out and it starts eating away your muscle tissue, so you start freaking wasting away, looking gaunt like a marathon runner, as opposed to big and strong and like a sprinter. Okay? And look at this. Why is your health and your mind space so utterly important? It's because it's how you interact with the whole world. Everything you interpret and everything that you see and everything that you do is determined by whether or not you're breathing. Okay? Are you not breathing? You can't go and do anything. You're dead. And the same is true for what you're eating, what you've got going on around you. Have you got Wi-Fi on right now? Have you got Bluetooth on right now? Is that stuff cooking your cells right now? Are you in an apartment building where there's like, if you look on your phone, that you can just scroll for ages to find out how many Wi-Fi signals are strong enough to reach you? All right? We're being genocided, guys. If you're not afraid, you are not sane. Fear, anger, these things are considered negative emotions. No, they're not. They're just emotions. The yin and the yang. They are necessary. If fear and anger motivates you to get off the couch and clean the house today because you listen to Jordan Peterson's first rule in the 10 Rules for Life, which says clean your room, because if you don't have your space clear, your mind is not clear. Okay, if you did that today, tomorrow would be a better day for you because of what you did today. You wander around and you're trying to do something. You're trying to do some housework or something, but things keep getting in your way, don't they? Oh, on the way to doing the washing, I saw that there was a toy on the floor that needed to be picked up. So I picked up the toy and put it away, and then I forgot that I had to go do the washing. But whilst I was forgetting doing the washing, I did like maybe 12 other things and then remembered that I had to do the washing. Right? So think about this for a second. You have 5 seconds, okay? Instinct, 5 seconds. Pick that thing up, pick that trash up, pick this up, or put that away, or something like that. If you don't react and go do it, the motivation's gone, and everything with it. Imagine doing that. And I've been doing this the last couple of days, and I am absolutely exhausted. Like, absolutely. My shoulders, my legs. I mean, sitting down in this seat, God, it's so good. Okay, just being able to get off my feet for an hour to do a radio show is like, oh thank you so much. Like they hurt so much. I mean, working so hard because I've been operating under this 5 second thing. Every time I see something, do that, tidying stuff away. Place looks great, but I feel like crap. And so this brings us down to probably one of the most important points in terms of your coping strategies, other than having a sense of humour and taking care of your health and learning about the myriad of threats that are passively going after your health. Then this coping strategy is revolved around socialising, okay? So you've got to socialise, you've got to have a good sense of humour, and you've got to take care of your health. If you've got those three locked down, a lot of the other problems that you have in your life will sort of like go by the wayside a little bit, because you'll have somebody to talk to about it. You'll have something to do in order to take your mind off it if you don't feel like talking about it, you see? And we're all suffering. Don't believe that anybody's not. And don't believe that your suffering isn't important enough to talk about, to understand, to listen to. Your suffering is important. It made you who you are. That's what people don't get. That's why you get all these sons of wealthy businessmen and things of that nature who their dad never even disciplined him because he wanted to have him a nice life. You know, my dad was mean to me, or blah, 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 blah. And you find out that these guys have got no motivation and they don't really care about anything. And they just want to party and get laid and stuff like that. And they can. And daddy just lets them. Why? Because he didn't have any hardship. Okay? Hardship is so important. So important. How do you know how strong you are unless you've been tested until the point where you break? Oh, that's exactly how strong I am. Snap! You need to go through that. And you need to not fear going through it or live your life in trepidation. Oh man, someday I might get tested or something. No, test yourself every day if you can. You know, and I'm not preaching as though I'm practicing these things. I'm just learning these things. But I know from all the people that I've spoken to, especially listeners from this show in particular, that I'm on the right track with this, because a lot of them seem to have themselves together and they don't seem like the kind of people who would give you bad advice because they're just trying to mislead you and hijack your reality stream. So with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining me today, Andrea, Michael, and Ralphie, and DK, who was here earlier as well. Guys, all thank you so much, and thank you to the lovely Rebecca for taking care of our beautiful baby boy while we're doing the show here. Feel good getting that off my chest. You feel better? I feel better. All right, so thank you very much. Let's go to the screen. On screen here, ladies and gentlemen, there is the Kiwi Bank code for the Vinny Eastwood Show. I'd like you to start up a $5 a month subscription onto there. Tune into the show. You got any problems or whatever, after you've donated, click here for your special rewards and you will be able to contact me personally. This is how I would like it. If everybody who donated actually texted me or called me or something like that, so we can at least have a chat. Face to face would be great. If not other than that, because frankly, donors, people who donate to this show, every time I've bumped into them, best people I've ever bumped into. Like really, just every time. They're just great. I don't know what it is about you guys, what it is about the show, but I've seemed to have just, it might be the intro. I think the intro just puts dicks off. You know, there's this, you know, light aside of genocide, I'm not listening to this. Bye-bye. You know, this guy laughs too loud. I'm out of here. Bye-bye. You know? Oh, man. Oh, the sweet smell and fragrance of a place that has been cleared of douchebaggery. Oh, mate. Just so good. Say it with me now. Yes. Love you all. Love you all very, very much. Please donate to the Vinnie Eastwood Show monthly and weekly if you can. Please, $5, $10, whatever you can spare in these hard times really helps me, really helps my family, and really helps to keep my mind off of the, you know, the stress of having to pay bills, so that all of that time is instead spent dreaming up amazing stuff to motivate you, keep you inspired, and make you feel loved, and make you laugh, and make you know that you're not alone. So thank you very much, ladies, gentlemen, and hermaphrodites. My fellow slaves of the global plantation, the Vinnie Eastwood Show is bad news. It's like the news, but so much worse. It's the lighter side of genocide. Just because we're being exterminated doesn't mean we can't enjoy it. Otherwise, what's the point of being killed? The Vinnie Eastwood Show. We're the only thing worse than living in a high-tech global police state run by child-trafficking Satanists. It's Vinny's jokes.